To just for a few moments the message that I have. And I think what I will do, rather than spend the usual amount of time, which obviously wouldn't have been possible today because we wanted to bring the needs of our missions before us, that I think I'll use this opportunity to bring an introduction to the message that I have on this verse and be satisfied, I think, with that. And trust that the Lord will use that to our hearts and souls. Now it's John 17. Verse 12. It's a beautiful verse. And I feel that it does fit the occasion as well. It isn't meant to be, in itself, I suppose, a missionary verse as such. But yet I feel that it is an encouragement for those who are serving. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. Now this prayer, we know, is a prayer which is by our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, which is called the High Priestly Prayer. And this part that we are in now refers particularly to the disciples, and not only to the immediate disciples that are there, but also to, in verse 20 we see, to those who shall believe in the word of God through their testimony and through their preaching. So this prayer then includes you and myself here this morning. And also I thought of it in this way, that this prayer is for all those who will both preach and receive the word of God. So who does it include? It includes myself here this morning, because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes you, if you have that same experience of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It started a long time ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ sent disciples to preach and to go to every corner of the earth, and he promised that he would never leave them nor forsake them. And not only for them, but for all who should believe on him through them, and so on, and so on, until it comes to us here this morning. And then again, in another way, as those go from our midst here to various parts of the world, this prayer is for them. And this particular phrase, Holy Father, keep them. Now it's a most lovely word, isn't it? That Jesus Christ now, as you remember in verse 11, says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them. Now may I just bring two little thoughts from that this morning, and they're little headings that I have. The palm of his hand, the plan of his heart. And firstly then, the palm of his hand. Now what do I learn from that? Well, behind the verse and surrounding the thought in that verse, Holy Father, keep them, is that great act when he sought us when we were strangers. Or as the Bible often puts it, when we were like stray sheep. And every one of us went his own way. And Jesus sought me when a stranger. Do you remember that time? Do you remember when you were a stranger? A stranger to the fold of God? Do you remember who decided everything in your life? You did. And I did in my life. Do you remember how hard we were toward God? And yet in his infinite mercy, Jesus sought me when a stranger. And in this very same gospel, as some of the most warm-hearted verses in scripture, talking about the safety of that fold of the keeping of God's grace. It is a thing most wonderful that we are found in that fold. I'll read you the verses there in John 10. Verse 11, we have a description of Jesus Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now that happened, didn't it? Jesus Christ died on Calvary as a penalty for our sin. Never had and never has this world seen such a love as that, because he showed love not to the lovely, but love to the loveless. Shall I explain what I mean? You know sometimes when you and I are irritated by somebody, now what emotion do you have? A feeling of anger and disagreement. And we may quarrel with the people. And if we are dealing with people that we're not particularly friendly with as well, and that we are very ready to find fault to them, and there's anger inside us towards them, and we might go to them and tell them the right thing, but we tell them in anger, we rather enjoy telling them, because we don't love the loveless. Supposing we saw them as they really are. Now, I don't know what they look like. I only had to peer into my own heart. Supposing they saw me as I really am. But Jesus sees us as we really are. And yet, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. And his desire this morning for you and myself is this, that we might be lovely. I know it's an abused word, and it is used so flippantly and carelessly, but can you replace it? When you think something is really great, isn't it difficult to say, that's lovely. I know we should say that's magnificent and that's beautiful and that's fine and that's superior. And there are an abundance of descriptive words. But when we really are impressed, we will say, isn't it a lovely day? Or isn't that a lovely thing? Or isn't that a lovely person? Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Well, are you lovely? Listen to these words again. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in love and in obedience, lays down his life on Calvary, pays a penalty for our sin. Why? The wonderful thing is this, that these sheep who believe in him can be called the sheep of God. It's a wonderful thing to be of the sheep of God. We despise sheep, don't we? Do you know why we despise sheep? Have you heard how the world describes sheep? Look at them. They're following like a lot of sheep. But these are the sheep of God. And we follow him. But we know who we are following. And the verses are wonderful verses of tremendous security. Do you remember the verses in John 10? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Those are the words of the great keeping grace of our God. My sheep. How can they be identified in the world? Well, this is some of the things that they know. They know his voice. His way they know and they follow. His life they have. And his assurance they cherish. All those things are true. That a person who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner for salvation becomes of the sheep of God. And he is able to say in his heart with great comfort, I shall never perish. No man shall pluck me out of his hand. I am his forever. He is mine forever. I am embraced of God. And I am in the keeping grace of my God. I am in the palm of his hand. That's the first thought. My name from the palms of his hand. Eternity will not erase. Impressed in his heart it remains. In marks of indelible grace. And the second and the last thought is this. The plan of his heart. How strange. He chooses to leave us in this world. And yet we realize that there is a purpose in this. And last Sunday morning, if you remember, we touched on some of the reasons why we are left in this world. We are left here because we are the only light that this world will ever see. The only comfort that this world will ever know. The only salt wherewith this earth can be salted. And he leaves us in the world. He leaves us in this world so that we might gain knowledge, not only knowledge in our heads and understanding, but also the other side of knowledge. You know, if you're thinking of a chemistry laboratory, there are two kinds of getting to know there. There is your textbook and the information, and then you go to the bench and there is the experiment. And we are talking here of experimental religion, in a sense that the knowledge of my heart is practiced in my life so that I try out that which is in that book and I learn. And it was when I have a successful experiment that I realize that I have understood the information that has been given to me. Experimental religion. So I am left in this world for that. And I'm also left so that he might be glorified. And he is glorified greatly because of our great frailty and our emptiness and our weakness. And he leaves us there. So he says, Holy Father, keep them. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast sent me, that they may be one as we are. Notice what he pleads. Holy Father. Why Holy Father? Why didn't he say Merciful Father, Gracious Father, Loving Father, the great Creator, Upholder of all things? Why didn't he use one of the great descriptions of God? This is why I believe he said Holy Father. Holiness is the crown of all God's attributes. That's a daring thing to say. It's a daring thing to say. What about his omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, sovereignty? What about his righteousness? What about his love? No, holiness is the crown of all his attributes. Let me prove it to you from Scripture. In Hebrews 6, verse 13, we see God swearing by his name. And he's speaking regarding Abraham. Because he could by no greater, he swore by himself. And then he says these words. Once I have sworn by my holiness, this is in Psalms, that will I not lie unto David. The only time he does this, once have I sworn by my, what shall I choose? Which of my attributes shall I take to show to King David that I am not lying and that I mean what I say? Shall I show him my almightiness? Shall I show him my knowledge? Shall I show him my righteousness? What shall I swear by? I tell you what I will swear by. Once I have sworn by my holiness, by my holy name, by my holy character, I promise to David my servant. The crown of his attributes, the holiness of God. Jesus Christ picks that up. Holy Father, keep them. Holy Father, keep them because of thy name. Now what do we learn from that? We learn this. As now, as a believer in this little world, I will have gathered, say, the three things that I have mentioned, why we have left, and there are many more. Those three that I would say are important ones, but there are others, of course. But here I find myself in the frail vessel of my tabernacle of my flesh, and I feel my inability. And we heard this morning, and how Paul cried out, you know, but what am I? I am a man of like passions. How many times did Paul often feel, oh, I wish I could give up this apostleship. Oh, I wish I could just retire and not be an apostle. What if I should fail, God? How many ministers have felt like this? I am sure that there is no minister that truly loves God that hasn't had this terrible conflict. If he is ill, he said, wild horses will not keep me from that pulpit. And yet if he is well, he wishes there were a train that would whisk him away to the furthest corner of the earth. Why? There is this great conflict in his heart. And I'm sure that is why Paul said, I am a man of right passions. I can fail. But he is kept. And every believer is kept. How strong is your prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, for your keeping of me? How do I know how committed God and God the Father is to my keeping? And then he repeats his prayer to me. Do you remember what I said? Holy Father, because of thy holy name, keep them. Well, then I am encouraged. Does that bring something in my heart? Do you remember words like this? I am persuaded. Words like that. Or that which I have committed. Or that I believe he is able to keep. Or able to do. Do we believe those things, that in my life, whatever position he has placed me in, myself as a pastor, we as Christian members in this church, whatever we may be, that he is able to keep me? For those of you this morning who have not yet come to that first place where you are in the palm of his hand, because you're afraid of the plan of his heart,
it is not without its promises. As we are committed to him, we have a God who is committed to us, and he's committed to keep us. And this is a burden of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Father, keep them. Then a cry comes from my heart, but oh God, this world, this permissive age, this complicated society, these pressures that are upon my life, all these things, I don't know how ever I can make it. And then we have the answer. I will keep you. Do you remember Peter said something very similar to John as he is saying it here by the Holy Spirit? Peter, in his epistle, says that there is an inheritance, do you remember, reserved in heaven. But have you noticed a verse before? That there is a place reserved, that we are preserved, and we are kept. And that this promise is for you, and it is for me. Such knowledge surely should encourage every one of us to say, well, all right then, I will walk with my Lord. I will follow my Lord wherever he would have me to go, because I know that by his holy name he will keep me in a holy way. And that even though I know of my besetting sin or of temptations galore, he is able to keep me. In children's stories, and I suppose in reality, we used to read of pirates of long ago. And I suppose this has been done also by people who are willing to sell their birthright. This kind of a pirate ship. Imagine a pirate ship on the high seas. And there it is, it has a banner. And nearby are some British ships, so there it is flying the Union Jack. And then it is freed because there are many ships there and escapes. Its real flag is a skull and crossbones. And then he comes near another group of ships and another flag goes up. It raises many a standard, or a fearful ship might raise many a banner, or a fearful soldier might have many changes of uniform. Wouldn't it be terrible if you and I were like that? And using a verse wrongly, oh, I am all things to all men. Not as it is meant by Scripture. And whatever ships may be, I have a standard to fly amongst them. Oh, I will keep my heart the same. But I will fly any old flag that happens to be going. The call here is this. Raise up a standard. Raise up the standard of the Lord. But Lord, it's a very embarrassing flag. I've got it. Oh, come to my office. There in the drawer of my study there, I have got the banner of the Lord. I've got a pile of flags, mine, but I've got there the banner of the Lord. Then he says, wave it. Raise it. Oh, I will, Lord. And go to chapel on Sunday, I raise my banner, and there we have a myriad flags, banners for the Lord. And he says, carry it, and raise it in your work, and in your office, that men may know that your language is his language, that your ways are his ways. What kind of a language is it? What kind of ways are they? Holy ways. Holy ways. And he will keep us. Now, I know there is a problem. And the problem is one that we tremble. We are willing to raise that banner sometimes. And sometimes we'll almost kind of bring it out like this. Well, you know, I am Christian. But he's asking us to raise that banner. But our answer to him is this. But Lord, if I raise it, I will bring so much suffering upon myself. I will be branded as one of those narrow-minded people. I don't like that. And especially some of them, they're so tactless. And I will be branded with them. I don't like that. Or if a minister, if I am too clear in what I say, call me a fundy, a fundamentalist. I don't like that. Because I like to think there's dignity, I have abilities. I don't like that. I don't want to be amongst the despised. I don't want to be amongst the nobodies. Who will keep me? Who will help me when my heart is breaking, when friends make fun of me? Who will help me when I won't get a promotion because they think that my religion will affect my work? Who will help me? And then the answer is this. From heaven the answer comes. I will keep thee, for I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Raise thy banner up, for I have prayed for thee. And here it is, now the other side of this. He knew the beginning and the end altogether. He knew when he even said this regarding his disciples. He knew of their rise and their fall, their life and their death, their beginning and their end, their difficulties and their joys. He knew, and he knows this of us. And there is no trial that he's not aware of, no difficulties that he's not familiar with. And he tells us to march on. Because you will not be on your own, wherever, my dear friend, you may find yourself in, wherever I may be. And if you are in the palm of his hand, his honour is with you. Oh, I can't carry the honour of God. Where I go, what I say, what I do. Oh, I cannot carry the honour of God. What colour is that flag? The colour is called holiness and the honour of God. What pattern is on that flag? It is the pattern of holiness and the honour of God. But if I raise that flag, I can't. I can't. And God will say, I know you can't. But I will hold your arms and keep you. I will keep you from falling. I will keep you from failing. I will keep you. Oh, that's a lovely prayer. Who prayed it? Jesus Christ. Who is he? The Son of God. Who's he praying for? He's praying for you and for me. I can't possibly know all my own circumstances yet, let alone yours. But this I know, that he never lies. He can't lie. He is a moral God, and his word is true. And the desire for Jesus Christ is this, that a holy people might raise up a holy standard and fly their colours, that they are committed to Christ wherever they are. Hard task, yes, but the promise is great. We shall know of his ability and his keeping power, and he is able to fulfill his word. May God grant that we shall raise up the standard of God wherever we are, and at the same time prove his keeping power. Let us pray. O Lord, we turn to thee and ask thy blessing. And pray, O Lord, for those missionaries from this church who have raised the banner in difficult places. Keep them, Holy Father. And for us too, O Lord, in a time of ease, where we can allow the banner to lie limp in some corner, give us grace to raise thy banner and keep us, Holy Father. Amen.